Will you please turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We'll read from verse 11. To verse 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is that of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged each according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Lately, we have been considering together on this matter of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The last book of the Bible is called the Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to us. In other words, it is the purpose of God that we see the Lord Jesus. When God reveals, we see. To God, it is a revelation given. To us, it is a vision seen. And God desires that we see the Lord Jesus in the light of our days, in the end days, to see him who and what he is in the last days. Now this morning, without going back to what we have already covered, we will come to the sixth vision of the Lord Jesus in this book of Revelation. Now, in the last vision, the fifth one, we see him as one who rides upon a white horse. One who comes with his army to that last battle before millennium, the battle of Armageddon. And we find how by the sword that comes out of his mouth, even with his breath, how he destroys his enemy. And then he sets up his kingdom upon this earth. Now, in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught his church to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And we find that after that last battle, won by our Lord Jesus and the army of the heaven, then the Lord will set up his kingdom upon this earth. The kingdom of God has finally manifested upon this earth. And as we find in the book of Isaiah, righteousness shall rule over this earth. And the knowledge of God shall fill this earth as waters heal the sea. It is the time of the millennium. It is the time of the golden age, the utopia that people have been looking forward to. And finally we find that it is ushered in. In the time of the millennium, it is almost like a return to the days of the Garden of Eden before the fall. Why? Because we find that those who rebel against God were destroyed. The Antichrist and the false prophets were cast into the lake of fire, and Satan was bound and sealed in the bottomless pit. And those nations that were removed into the millennium will be ruled with a rod of iron. If there is any rebelling, it will be punished right away, as we find in Zechariah. Righteousness shall rule over this earth. The Lord shall rule over this earth. The Lord and those who shall reign with Him over this earth. And the nation of Israel shall be a nation of priests, as God has promised to Abraham, as promised to Moses. They shall be a nation of priests, and they shall go out and teach the nations to serve the Lord. We have the best environment the world has ever known. But at the end of the millennium, Satan will be released temporarily, and he will tempt the world after the millennium, and there will be a great multitude following him in the last rebellion. You know, dear brothers and sisters, we often think that people are bad because we do not have good environments. If our environments are changed, we will be changed. But this is not so. Why? You find that during the millennium time, you have the best environment you ever had, and yet the top have not been changed. The basic problem is not a matter of environment. The basic problem is a matter of heart. You may be given the best environment, but if your heart is not changed, even the submission that you find during the millennium time is an outward thing, not an inward reality. And that is the reason why after the millennium, especially for those who may be born during the millennium years, they have never known the corruption. They have never known the violence that we knew today. And yet, they will be tempted. They will be tested before they were allowed to be removed to the new heaven and the new earth. So here you'll find the last rebellion. Gog and Magog will come up. They will surround the camp of the saints and the holy city. But they will be consumed by fire. Now Gog and Magog, we know from history that they were a nomadic, cruel people who traditionally hated God's people. In Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39, we find Gog and Magog, and how they were the last and final enemy of the nation of Israel before the millennium. Probably they were the Northern Confederacy. But here it is after the millennium. So Gog and Magog here are used symbolically. It is not limited to any geographical area or to any ethnic people, but it represents those who hate God's people. Probably it is because they are jealous. They are jealous of the grace of God as shown to those who reign with Christ. They are jealous of the nation of Israel, because the grace of God is upon them. And out of jealousy, you will find there will be the last rebellion. But thank God, they will be consumed with fire. Now, after such things had happened, then John saw, I saw. John began to see something. Now, what did he see? He said, I saw a great white throne. And one sat on it. Dear brothers and sisters, this is not the throne of grace that we approach today. We find in Hebrews how we approach the throne of grace with boldness. Receiving mercy and grace for seasonable help. The throne of God today to us is a throne of grace. It is because of the blood of our Lord Jesus. It is because He has opened a new and living way for us. It is because He is our great high priest. So the throne of God is to us today the throne of grace. We may approach boldly to receive mercy and find grace for every help, every need. But one day, the door of grace will be closed. And a great white throne will be set. It is the throne of eternal judgment. God is going to judge all men. A great white throne. It is a great throne. The very size of that throne gives you the impression of the greatness of God's authority and power. How He will judge all men. In Hebrews we are told that it is the portion of all men to die, and after death, judgment. So here you'll find all men will be judged at the great white throne. It is called a white throne. Why? Because white speaks of purity. In other words, before that throne, every man will be judged with no partiality, with no prejudice, with absolute justice. How terrible must be that great white throne. It is the last act of time. Because after the great white throne judgment, time will pass away and eternity will return. And there is one who sits upon that throne. Now, who is that one? In John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said, neither does the Father judge anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. In other words, the one who sits upon the great white throne is none other than our Lord Jesus. He is the one who sits upon that throne. And He is the one who is entrusted to judge all men. You remember when Peter was in the house of Cornelius? In chapter 10 of the book of Acts, he said, He, that is our Lord Jesus, is the one who has been appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And when Paul spoke in Athens to the Athenians, he said, God has set a day to judge the habitable world with righteousness by the one whom He has appointed. And the one whom God has appointed to judge the whole world is none other than our Lord Jesus. While He was on earth, He was judged by man. But now it is His turn to judge all men. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and place was not found for them. You remember when our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross? How the sun hid its face. But here you'll find before the face of our Lord Jesus, even the heaven and the earth will pass away. Even the heaven and earth cannot stand to see his face. The old earth and the old heaven will be consumed, burned. All the elements will be burned and consumed. Nothing can stand before his face. What a terrible day it must be to think that people have to face him. The one even the heaven and earth cannot face. And he said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. It is the judgment of the dead. The living have already been judged. So it is the judgment of the dead. All those who have died will be raised to be judged. Again, in John chapter 5, we are told, the Lord Jesus said, the day shall come, and those who are in the tomb shall hear my voice, and those who hear the voice of the Son of God shall be raised. Those who practice good unto resurrection of life, and those who have done evil unto resurrection of death, of judgment. And we know that the resurrection of the just happened before the millennium, 1,000 years ahead. Now this is the time of the resurrection of the evil. And all those who are evil shall be resurrected and they will come into judgment. Dear brothers and sisters, how we thank the Lord that even though we are no good, and yet because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus, God has counted us as righteous. Again in John chapter 5 verse 24, the Lord Jesus said, he who hears my voice and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus. It is because of his shed blood. It is because of the life that is given to us that God should count us as righteous. We will not enter into this judgment of the great white throne. We have passed out of death into life. So, dear brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we who have believed in the Lord Jesus, we have been delivered from this great white throne judgment. We will not be there because Christ has already been judged for us on Calvary's cross. But those who do not receive him, those who reject the Son, those who will not accept his mercy and his grace, they shall be resurrected and they shall enter into this judgment and no one can escape. Great and small. The sea will give up its death. Death and Hades will give up their death. There is no escape. Everyone who has rejected the Son, everyone who has despised the love of God, everyone who has refused to accept the Lord Jesus as his or her Savior will be there at the great white throne. And how are they to be judged? And books were opened. And books were opened. These books are the personal files, records of every man. You know, God keeps a record. He has a file of every man. From the time you're born to the time you die, everything is in the book. Every word that you have spoken, idle word or good word, every thought that you have thought, evil or good, every action that you have taken, good or bad, every attitude that you maintain, good or bad, every relationship that you have, good or bad, everything in your life to the minutest detail, there is nothing lost. Your whole life are filed in God's record. And the books are there. You know, people are rather frightened today. I often read in the paper about either FBI or CIA or whatever it may be, the government seems to keep a file on everybody. And they seem to know anything, everything that you have done. And people are rather afraid of that. But don't be afraid of that, because they miss a lot. But there is one book that you really need to be afraid of, because nothing is missed. Everything is there. Now, does God really keep such a record? He does. How does he keep it? Where does he keep his file cabinet? Can it be destroyed? Let me tell you a story. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, he told about himself. He said when he was a boy, once he was in a river or in a lake, and he was drowning. And he said when he went down under the surface of the water, in a split second, he saw his whole life projected as on a screen pass before his eyes. Just in a second, he saw his whole life. So Moody said, the books that God keeps is your memory. God keeps that book in your memory. Everything is written there. And when the time comes, God just brings it forth, and in your memory, your whole life will come before you. In a second, you see everything of your life, you do in your life. That's the way probably God keeps his record. And dear brothers and sisters, isn't it terrifying to see your whole life projected before you? Not only for you to see, not only for God to see, not only for the Lord to see, but for all these billions and billions of countless people to see. Your whole life is an open book. Everybody will see it. Does God need to judge anyone? He doesn't need to judge anyone. You judge yourself. It is Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, another great evangelist, who says this. He said, you know what Spurgeon said? Before he believed in the Lord Jesus, he was a young man and he was seeking, because he was burdened with his sin, and he was seeking for salvation. And he said, if God is righteous, then God must condemn me to eternal death. Because if he does not condemn me to the eternal death, he is not righteous. Dear brothers and sisters, there is no need for God to condemn anybody. You will condemn yourself when you see what you have done. When you see your whole life projected before you. There will be no argument before the great white throne.
There will be no excuse given for any reason. Nobody can give any excuse. When you see your whole life projected before you, you hang down your head and say, God is just. He is just. I deserve eternal death. He is right. Everybody will give righteousness to God. But dear brothers and sisters, how we thank the Lord for the precious blood of the Lamb. When the blood cleanses, it washes it away. It's no longer there. Even God will not see it anymore. Thank God for that. Brothers and sisters, do we realize what we have received? Do we realize the grace, the mercy, the love, the salvation that we have received? In the light of the great white throne, how we need to thank the Lord Jesus for what He has done for us? What love He has given to us? And another book was opened, which is that of life. Against all these books that pile high before the great white throne, there is another book. And that another book is called the Book of Life. Anyone whose name is not written in the Book of Life shall be judged by the book. In other words, if your name is written on the Book of Life, you will not be judged by the book. Who can pass the judgment if you will be judged by the book? And by that it means you will be judged according to the work that you have done. The letter of Romans and the letter of Galatians have proved to us that no one can be justified by work. We are justified by faith, not by work. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus. And at the great white throne, everyone will be judged according to work. But who can be justified? Nobody. No one can be justified by works, now or forever. How we need to thank God that our names are written in the Book of Life. You remember in Luke chapter 10, when the Lord sent the 70 out, and they came back rejoicing, they told the Lord and said, now even the evil spirits are subjected to us. See what power we have. And they are so happy with such manifestation of divine power. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, rejoice not because the evil spirits subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in the Book of Life in heaven. To cast out evil spirits is to demonstrate the power of the age to come. But to have your name written in the Book of Life is eternal. It's eternal. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to rejoice that by God's grace, not by your work, not because you're good, it is because of the Lord is good. Therefore, your names are written in the Book of the Lamb, in the Book of Life. Thank God your name is written in the Book of Life. Make sure of that. If you are not sure whether your name is written in the Book of the Lamb, make sure of it today. If you don't, it may be too late. If your name is not found there, then you will be judged according to the books. How can your name be written in the Book of the Lamb, in the Book of Life? By trusting the Lamb of God. who takes away the sin of the world. By believing in the Lord Jesus. And then your name will be written in the book of life. And rejoice over this fact. Furthermore, in Philippians chapter 4, you remember Paul said, he talked about his fellow workers, about Clement and about other people, and he said, their names are written in the book of life. Isn't that wonderful? How can we serve God if our names are written or not written in the book of life? In other words, service comes out of life. It is because our names are written in the book of life. Therefore, our service will be accepted by God. If our names are not written in the book of life, no matter how you serve, your service will be rejected. God does not want your service. Because the more you serve, the more you deserve Him. But if you know your name is written in the book of life, then, dear brothers and sisters, it is time that you start to serve Him. You serve Him with a life that He has given to you. And another thing you remember, to have your name written in the book of life is a protection. Why, as you read Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, you will find those whose names are written in the book of the Lamb, in the book of life, they will not worship the beast. But those whose names are not written in the book of life, they will worship the beast. In other words, with your name written in the book of life, it will keep you away from sin, from evil. Thank God for that. Thank God that your names are written in the book of life. How important it is. But why is that book of life there at the great white throne? We say it is the judgment of the dead. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus, they have been resurrected 1,000 years ahead of them. And they will never come into the great white throne. So why should the book of life be there? Is it just there to serve as a check? Lest anybody whose name may be there and be judged? Certainly. It will be more than that. Now I don't know, because the Bible is silent. There is only one explanation I may offer. Now, you can take it or leave it, because it is not the Bible. I think probably the book of life is there because of those who may die during the millennium years. You remember Isaiah, it is said, even a sinner who died 100 years is considered as cursed. Maybe there are people who are born in the millennium and die in the millennium. And maybe some of them, of their names, are in the book of life. I don't know. But there may be such an explanation. So anyway, we find that during the last judgment, all whose names are not written in the book of life will be judged according to the books, according to the work that they had done in their lives. And the result is they will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Remember, the lake of fire, or hell, as people usually say, is not made for man. Hell is prepared for Satan. Satan was cast into the lake of fire. But those who follow Satan had to keep company with him. That's why you'll find those who are judged and condemned, they will be cast into the lake of fire. That will be the end of time. And thank God, after that comes eternity. So, dear brothers and sisters, we need to see the Lord Jesus in the light of the great white throne. Today, He offers His grace to us. But one day, He will sit on that throne and judge all men. Whom do you in what way do you want to see Him? Do you want to see Him as a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? See Him as the burnt offering willingly offered to the Father on the behalf of the world? Or do you rather see Him as the judge on the great white throne? We have much to thank Him for, we who have believed in Him. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee, because the one whom Thou hast appointed to judge the living and the dead is the very one whom Thou hast sent into the world to save the lost. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast opened our eyes to see Him as the Lamb of God. How we praise and thank Thee for faith given in believing and trusting in Him. How we thank Thee that our names are by grace written in the book of life. Oh, how we thank Thee for the salvation and for the Savior that Thou hast given to us. Oh, how it is our prayer and our longing that many more may come to know Thee in this way. Because it is Thy will that all shall be saved and come to the knowledge of God. Thou dost not want anyone to perish. O Lord, we pray and ask Thee that since Thou hast saved us, may Thy compassion fill our hearts, that we may go out and seek and find the lost. O, that the gospel of Jesus Christ may be preached. O, that many more may be brought into Thy kingdom. We pray for our friends. We pray for our relatives. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for those whom we are in contact with. Oh, we do pray that, Lord, open their eyes that they may see Thee as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, we pray that they may not reject Thee and then one day stand before that great white throne. How can they face Thy face? Oh Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. We ask in Thy precious name.